Today on Real Life Radio.
Stop being such a wimpy Christian and think that you can only hang around Christians. You can only work at a Christian company. Listen, God wants us to go to the world and make a difference. Christ in you is the hope of glory. You've been baptized with the Holy Spirit. You've been empowered by God. Get out there and give them God.
Welcome to Real Life Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. I'm David Jay, thanking you for joining us today as we listen, learn, and are challenged by God's Word, the Bible. Real Life. On today's edition of Real Life Radio, Pastor Jack continues his series now called The Book of Revelation with a message titled, Jesus Christ is Coming Again. As we move forward in chapter 19 of Revelation, we'll see the return of Jesus Christ to the world. Now, this awesome event is talked about many times in Scripture, including 17 books of the Old Testament, and Jesus himself spoke of his second coming in all four of the Gospels. You see, Jesus details his second coming in the Gospels as it was prophesied in the Old Testament 1,000 years before. The people of Israel will see his coming, and as he moves closer, they'll see his hands that were pierced for our salvation, and his eyes like flames of fire will come to judge and make war on those who rejected him. So today on this part of the message, Pastor Jack goes on to say that in Revelation chapter 4, we saw how the church will be raptured to heaven. The rapture is when Christ comes for the church, which could happen really at any time. The second coming of Christ, however, is when Christ returns with the church to bring an end to the tribulation period and usher in his new kingdom and a new earth. Now in his message called Jesus Christ is Coming Again, here's pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs.
Church, however we live our lives, in whatever realm, in whatever sphere that we're in, keep this in mind. 1 Corinthians 10:31 says, whatever we do, either in eating or drinking, whatever we do, we must all do to the glory of God. That's for the Christian. Now, before some of you think that that's a, you know, boy, this, what are you just asking us to dress in black and to pull our hair back in a bun and eat, you know, soup and sit there and become kind of Amish-like? No. I personally believe that God wants us to get up and go into the world. I mean that. For those of you who work in the world, which is just about every one of you, unless you work in a church, and sometimes, I don't know, both are very difficult. You're going to get up and you're going to go to a place that's godless. I tell you what, working in a godless place, either A, you'll become like them, or B, they'll become like you. Your Christianity is incredibly powerful and greatly resilient. I think God wants us to go into the world. To go into the world but not become of the world. To show them the way, to make them a different, to show them that there's something different. I think that's very important, very powerful. Whatever we eat, whatever we drink, the Bible says, whatever we do, do to the glory of God. Is it God-honoring? It's kind of tough to honor God at a party, well, you know, with Seagram 7 in your hand. It's just, the world's going to come up and say, I thought you were a Christian. Oh, I'm a Christian. Yeah, but you're getting drunk. Oh, I'm not drunk. Well, yeah, but aren't you drinking that beer or that thing? And what? I mean, you're supposed to be different. Listen, go to the party or go to the thing or go, you know, if you got to go to happy hour with your work, go to the happy hour and you know, you want to generate a witness? Order milk at the bar. You say, Jay, you're kidding. You know, well, I told you before that I had just shortly come to Jesus Christ and I'd gone to a party with a friend of mine. And we actually had milk in our hands. And boy, did that generate an attention. First thing was, people walked up and said, what are you doing? Quit goofing off. Here, drink this beer. Well, I don't want the beer. Well, what are you doing? It's milk. Well, what's that all about? Oh, I'm a Christian. Oh, brother, come on, stop it. Drink the beer. And you know what's funny? Have you ever seen this happen? When you're in a setting like that, the people who, first of all, start out, they want you to drink the beer instead of the milk, or the beer instead of the Coca-Cola or Pepsi, why are they so important? Why is it so important to them now what I drink? Have you seen that happen? Come on, drink this. Will you drink it? No, no, it's okay. Well, come on, drink it. Why are you so bent on me drinking this? You know what? They feel better if you drink like they do or do what they do, because now they've got no standard to look at and it's not so uncomfortable to have you around. You say, well, Jack, how am I ever going to lead them to Jesus? Because you know what? You can be fun. You can be loving. You can be insightful. You can be in that scenario and not become of it, but give them or show them a different way. And listen, here's what happens. When you begin to point or pick on that setting with righteousness, not being snub-nosed, are you with me? Not being self-righteous. But when you're there and you're making a difference, they're going to come up, they're going to try to push you down. That doesn't happen. So what they wound up doing, they wind up trying to involve you in. That doesn't happen. And then out of the crowd, someone will come forward and say, hey, why are you doing this? What's happening? Can you tell me about it? That's why Paul said, I become all things to all men that some might be saved. That is important. Stop being such a wimpy Christian and think that you can only hang around Christians. You can only work at a Christian company. You can only eat Christian food. You can only drive Christian cars. Listen, God wants us to go to the world and make a difference. Christ in you is the hope of glory. You've been baptized with the Holy Spirit. You've been empowered by God. Get out there and give them God. See, people don't want church. Don't walk out there and say, hey, here's my milk. My pastor said I should drink milk. I go to Calvary. Don't be such a nut. You know what? That's crazy. This pastor and this church can do nothing for you. It's Christ. Take your milk or take your Pepsi or go to that soccer game, you know, and everyone's cussing. Don't cuss. Let them see the difference. Then let them come to you. Why are you different? Because Jesus is awesome. What? They already know he's coming back. They've heard about that. Give them hope. Give them Jesus. The resources is the very life. Have I presented myself as a living sacrifice to God? Lord, here I am. Notice, it's a living sacrifice. God doesn't say, strap yourself to an airplane and fly into buildings and kill yourself. That's not God. That's Satan. God says, present yourself alive to me, not dead. I can't use dead stuff. I want a living person. And I want you to live for me. People will see Christ in you and say, man, what is up? I want that. That's what Paul said in Romans 1:1. Romans chapter 1, verse 1, when Paul told the church at Rome, Paul, a bondservant of Jesus Christ, the word bondservant is a voluntary slave, willfully subjecting or being subservient to the will of another, to hand back your rights to your master. Paul says, I'm a slave of Christ. Are you a Christian this morning? If you say, yes, I'm a Christian, then listen, you've automatically put yourself in that category. Then I'm also a slave of Christ. Isn't that great? I'll be a slave to no man. Well, I don't want to be a slave to any man either, but I will be a slave to Christ because that's the only freedom there truly is. It makes no sense at all, by the way, to be a slave unless you have a wonderful master. And this word here, doulos, bondservant, Romans 1:1, means that you've done your time, your freedom has come, you're to be released, and you take your freedom that's been granted to you by your master, and you walk back to him and you say, Master, I don't want to leave you. I recognize that you're wonderful. I yield my life to you. I invite you in to be not only my master over what I've always done, now I'm asking you to be my master in all that I shall do from this moment on. And it's more sweet and more wonderful than ever because I willfully ask you to come into my life and be my master. I want to be your slave, Lord. And that's the way you live. It is the best way to live. And by the way, can I say this? Rarely do I lay awake at night worrying about things. I may lay awake at night for some things or some issue and I'm praying and I just don't get sleepy. I have one of those problems. I don't sleep. To me is an interruption. I don't sleep much. But I tell you, if I'm going to lay there and be praying Lord, your will be done in my life. If there's a problem, I lay my head down at night. First Peter, jot this down. You're going to need it. Say, I'm not going to need it. Well, then don't write it down and wish you had written it down, because you will need this. 1 Peter 5:7, cast all of your cares upon Christ because he cares for you. You know what that means? I'm your slave, Lord. I've got nothing to worry about. You told me that you're my master. Good night, Lord. I'm blessed. And go to sleep. Why? Because he says, I'll care for you. That's being a slave to Jesus. Lord, you brought me into this world. Take my life and do whatever you want with it. That's the right way to live. God, I yield to you. 1 Corinthians 6:12, for you were bought at a price. Therefore, glorify God in your bodies, which in your body, which belongs to God, and your spirit. 1 Corinthians 7:23, you were bought at a price. Do not become a slave to man. And of course, again, 2 Peter 3:11, what manner of persons ought we to be? Knowing that Christ is coming back. And it's obvious, my friend, thirdly, under this point, what am I doing with my vitality? Vitality is the word meaning life. What am I doing with the very unction of my life, the very energies of my life? Our Bible tells us that there's going to be a great gathering of this great judgment supper of God. Notice the difference, as I mentioned earlier, in Revelation 19, verse 9, verses 17. If you look at verse 17 and you compare it to verse 9, completely two different locations, completely two different events, and listen, completely two different hosts. One is God the Father. The other is Jesus Christ the Son. That's very important. In light of these things, in light of my vitality, I tell you, listen, it is important. God, while I've got the opportunity, what am I going to do? What am I going to do? My time, my resources, my vitality. Look at you. Look around at you. You're here. We're here together. Corporately, look, there's enough of us to get together. Do you realize, honestly, can you imagine if we just got together, if I were to say, okay, everyone, come on over here. I'm going to tell you something. We all just set everything down. We go over here into the corner and I go, psst, shh, hey, let's do this. Now imagine for a moment. Imagine for a moment you couldn't say no. You couldn't bail out. You say, oh, I'm getting nervous about that. A bus is going to pull up. We're all going to get in it. It'd be a big bus. We're going to go down to, the hospital. And we're all going to walk through the various floors like a scavenger hunt. You know, we're just going to be deployed into the community of that hospital. And whenever you come to an open door, walk in. Remember, you can't say no to this. You're going to go into the room, and there's going to be, you know, maybe 3, 4, 5 of you. You're going to go into a room, and you're going to walk over to that person that's sick, and you're going to say, Lord, in Jesus' name, bless this person. If they know you, cause them to know you more and bless them. If they don't know you, bless them with coming to the knowledge of you. Lord, bless their family. God, we ask you to show your presence to this person in Jesus' name. Amen. And Lord, if it be your will to heal them or for them to learn something through this sickness, thy will be done. In Jesus' name, we would say amen. God bless you, my friend. See you later. And you go to the next room. Can you imagine if we all did that together? You know, that's what we should be doing together. Think about it. You say, oh, I'm not going to do that. You know what? This is what Christians do. This is serious. Why is this important? Because that's what I need to be doing with my vitality before it's gone. I want to take this temple that God has given me. I mean, look, I'm having a good day today. My back doesn't hurt. I feel good. I've lost some weight. I'm feeling all right. Let me say it again. I've lost some weight. I'll say it one more time. I've lost some weight this month. I've lost some weight. But you know what? I'm feeling fine. It's summer. I'm feeling good. What I want to do with this temple that's working right, my body being presented to God, Lord, use it. Because I know what I do with my body when it feels good and I don't give it to the Lord, I could fall out of a tree. I mean, I almost did that last night. I had no business cutting a limb off the tree. I was on a ladder. It was shaky. It was starting to move. I was too high up there. The saw was giving me trouble, so I had to use my left hand because I'm right-handed. I'm in a bad angle. You guys, I almost bit the dust, literally. Why did I get up there? Normally, I'm not going up there. Oh, my back hurts. Did I stop to think, I feel great. I'm going to go up there and cut that limb. The Lord, you know, honestly, I tell you, I'll confess. I was getting ready to read my daily reading. And I looked out the window. That branch is going to fall. I put it down. No, stop right there. Would God want me to do my daily reading or cut down the branch from the tree? He'd want me to do my Bible reading first, then go cut down the branch from the tree. Or he could have said in my daily reading, don't cut down the branch from the tree. No, I put down my Bible. I'll take it from here, Lord. I'll be right back. I almost get killed. I want to present my vitality to the Lord and let him use it. And by the way, remember, whatsoever you do, do to the glory of God. Are you going to go surfing today or are you going to go snow skiing today? You know, you have that choice today. You can do either one. It's going to be 80 degrees or more, or you can go snow skiing today. What a wild place we live in. What are you going to do today? You're going to go to Disneyland today? You're going to go down to San Diego today? What are you going to do today? You're going to mow your lawn today? Do it to the glory of God. Are you going to go have a barbecue today? Do it to the glory of God. Don't stop having barbecues. Sorry, kids, no barbecue. We got to live our lives to the glory of God. Your kids are going to go, who wants God? And I don't want to live here anymore. I mean, think about it. Second point that we look at this morning. Jesus Christ is coming again. Number two, it's outrageous. It is outrageous. Look at verse 19. Unbelievable. Verse 19 blows my mind. I saw the beast. That's the Antichrist. Remember him? Mr. European world leader. We already know about this guy a lot. He's going to arise out of the revised Roman Empire, says the Bible. What's amazing about that is Europe, by the way, Europe today, or Europe this week, I got emails from Europe, from our friends, that they just now corporately, the nations of the European Union, all accepted the constitution that was presented, and we brought word to you of that a couple months ago. They've accepted it. Keep that in mind. You're going to see Europe become a tremendous military power, a tremendous political power, and already the euro dollar is kicking the currencies of the world as it increases in value. Now look at this. I saw the beast, the Antichrist, the kings of the earth, the political rulers of the earth, and their armies, its military armies, gathered together to make war against him, that's Christ, who sat on the horse, and against his army. That is Jesus and the church and the saints coming out of heaven. This is absolutely amazing. It's outrageous. See, what's outrageous? How stupid can they be? Are you serious? The Battle of Armageddon's taking place. Don't you think the Bible, don't you think that somebody there would know the Bible? They're warring with each other. Then all of a sudden, the nations of the world are going to agree. Remember, they're involved in a battle. Book of Daniel tells us that there's going to be an army invading from the north, and an army invading from the south, and an army invading from the east that will come against the forces of the Antichrist. And it must be perhaps Asia, some nations of North Africa. They're going to be coming to fight against the Antichrist and his forces. They collide in the Valley of Armageddon. While they're fighting, the heavens are going to be rumbling and shaking all of a sudden. Christ is going to be appearing. And wouldn't you think at that moment you'd lay down your tank or your fighter plane and say, whoa, what is this? We give up. Wouldn't you wave a white flag? They turn their weapons toward Jesus. How stupid can they be? You say, well, I don't believe it. That's pretty stupid. I don't think anybody could be that stupid. Really, remember history, my friend. Jesus came the first time, raised people from the dead, hugged little kids and gave them their lives back, fed people by the thousands, and did nothing but good. And what happened? They killed him. But if Jesus would come again, we wouldn't do that. We would love him. this world would kill him again. He's going to come and they're going to turn their tanks on him. And I'm sorry, it's outrageous, but it's going to be awesome. Listen, the question is this. They are not willing to follow Christ. Am I willing to follow Christ now while I can, while I'm able? That's very important. In John chapter 10, verse 27 to 30, I had a chance to share this yesterday with a bunch of kids. I love this verse. John 10, 27 to verse 30. Jesus said, "My sheep hear my voice. I know them and they follow me." You know, that's a statement of fact. If you're a Christian, you follow Jesus. If you're a Christian, you're not going to get whacked out with goober doctrine. If you're a Christian, you're not going to go get involved in a cult. If you're a Christian, you're not going to get lost. Why? Jesus said it. My sheep, they know my voice. I know them. They follow me. How simple is that? Pretty simple. You know, that's pretty cool. Pretty amazing. If you've never seen this, you need to go hang out with some sheep. You need to go watch what they do, especially where there's multiple shepherds around. When there's multiple shepherds, the guy will go, "Hey, hey!" I'm silly. I mean, I'm sure. I'm silly and sure. I know it sounds silly, but when they make their funny little sound, each of them have their unique word. The sheep respond. The sheep can all be all mixed together and they're talking, "Hey, what's your shepherd like? He's pretty cool. What's your shepherd like? Oh, he's all right." Those two shepherds can be having tea together and one of them could go, "Okay, well, it's time for me to go, hoi, hoi." All of his sheep go, "Let's go." And they follow him. All the other ones are just sitting there, ah, ah, until the other guy goes, "Yo." And then all of his sheep get up and follow him. And it's wonderful. I've seen this happen. I've actually seen this happen in Chino Hills. Truly. And I've seen this happen in Israel. The funniest thing I've ever seen is my sheep follow my voice. You know, I know them, they follow me. First time in Israel, we're heading towards Jerusalem. And we saw this big Mercedes-Benz pull up. This guy gets out. He was an Arab Bedouin. With all of his wrappings, you know, with all the clothing. And he gets out and he opens the back door and about 10 sheep get out of his Mercedes. I'm dead serious. And they're following him down the street. It was the coolest thing I've ever seen. It was hilarious. My sheep follow me, apparently, even in the Mercedes with this guy. It was hilarious. My sheep follow me, Jesus said, John 10, 28. I give them eternal life. They shall never perish. Neither shall anyone snatch them out of my hand. That's how safe you are, Christian. You should be going nuts over this. My Father who has given them to me is greater than all, and no one is able to snatch them out of my Father's hands. I and my Father are one. Man, that's like you being in a gate, stuck. That's like you being in a clam. The hands of Jesus, the hands of the Father, and you're right in the middle. Safe. God wants his sheep safe.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs, here on Real Life Radio with his message called Jesus Christ is Coming Again. So glad you could take the time to be with us today. Jesus Christ is Coming Again is part of Pastor Jack's series called The Book of Revelation. It's a series on the final book of the Bible and the unveiling of future events for us and for the world. And we'll continue on the next edition of Real Life Radio.
Well, hey, everybody, listen, we've got a brand new book out. It's called Temptation. Subtitle, The Battle of Your Life. And this is something that is so useful and so practical, and it's readable. And it's taken right out of Luke's Gospel, chapter 4, and Jesus teaches us how to combat Satan's temptations. And we think that this book is going to be of great help.
The book Temptation is yours for a gift of any amount. It's available right now at our website, jackhibbs.com. That's jackhibbs.com. This program is made possible by the generous contributions of you, our listeners. Visit us at jackhibbs.com. That's jackhibbs.com. Until next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Life Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word. We'll see you next time here on Real Life Radio.